Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. There's always an implied message underlying what self-hate says. Like the raised eyebrow that is loaded with meaning, every self-hating voice is loaded with implications. Assignment. What message about who or how you are is being implied by the self-hate messages? For example, the underlying message in, you say you're a devoted practitioner, but are you? You're still creating and clinging to beliefs. Is that I'm a hypocrite who does not have the ability to deliver on the intentions she hides behind. RL, what you see. Reminder, never record any self-hate messages. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea. I'm calling just because I like to call in once a month to check in. So
what are you saying?
It's funny, my mind is just blanking out. So I think what I've been seeing is that certain processes are similar between the two classes, so it seems to be that there's this part that wants to practice, but that's not the part that's being seen. So instead, I've been seeing these subpersonalities and dualities of mainly on the side of not wanting to practice or not being able to practice because of not having the time, or and then there's one that's on both sides of the duality, the taskmaster, which is you don't have time to practice, you have to do this, this, and this, and then later on it will come up and say you do need to practice now, and you know, make me feel guilty when I'm doing something else because I'm not practicing. And so, but I managed to practice, and I've done a lot of practicing. And the other thing I've been seeing is that I play the piano, which is practice as well. And so around the piano, what I noticed is the self-hate basically saying, you're going to mess up now. Like, you can't keep this up. You're gonna mess up, or else you messed up at this part before, and you're gonna mess up again. So the saboteur.
Wow. And Andrea,
yeah.
Andrea, are you training up for Carnegie Hall?
No. No.
I mean, that's what's so, you know, when we can step back just a little tiny bit, we can see how absolutely ridiculous it is. Right, you are practicing the piano because you like to play the piano.
Yeah,
you're not going for a professional career. You're not training up to play the piano in front of anybody else. You're doing it because you love to do it, and
exactly.
Still, it's haranguing you about, well, you messed up there. You're going to mess up. If we can just get how completely ridiculous it is, we have a hope of ceasing to attend to it. It's just ridiculous.
Well, and it's so evil. You know, I drew it out. I mean, it's pure self-hate. You know, it's satanic.
Oh.
I drew it out as looking like the devil.
Oh, yeah. And in addition, so here's the point I want to make, okay, about this, and kind of takes us out of the world of duality, but that's okay. You can handle it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what is being seen is ego.
Mm-hmm.
And what is seeing it is who you are.
Yeah.
So we're always looking for authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
But authenticity is what does the looking.
Mm-hmm.
Without authentic nature, you couldn't be seeing all this stuff.
Right.
So it's kind of like confusing your ability to see with the sunset. You can see how dramatically different those are, right? The sunset, as beautiful and fabulous and fascinating as it might be, is content.
Right.
The only way you're able to enjoy that is that you have the ability to see.
Right.
And that's what we're going for in practice. It's not what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the seeing.
Mm. Well, that's interesting. That's very subtle, it sounds like to me. I mean, maybe it's...
It is very subtle. It
yeah.
is very subtle. It's incredibly
because
subtle.
Because what I saw in meditation, which was similar to the other process, was there was someone sitting there, and then the mind kept going and going and going, and then this part came in that said, I was basically focusing actually on the numbers, you know, I was focused, and what came up was the voice saying, "I can't keep this up."
That's right, and that was a true voice. That was ego speaking.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you're meant to think it's meaning you can't keep this up. But
right.
It was saying literally what was going on. I can't keep this up. If you continue this focusing, I'm in big trouble here. You gotta stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just going forward, stay with that. Keep it simple. There are two things. There's the intelligence that animates, and there's ego.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One is negative, one is hateful, one is distracting, one is a conversation. The other is how it's possible to know all of that.
Yes. And this seems to be the theme. This seems to be the theme because in all of this, what I'm seeing is that there is someone who is doing this. You know, there is someone doing the practice without a lot of ruckus.
But don't fall for that. There's not someone doing the practice.
Oh, okay.
What is drawing you to practice is the intelligence that's animating you.
Okay.
So back to the simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Very
yeah,
exciting.
Thank you. Yes,
thank
yes.
Thank you.
I mean, yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Andrea. Sherry, that was so, what a wonderful phrasing, which was so helpful, that we are looking for authenticity, but authenticity is what's looking.
Yes.
Because what I saw when you said that is that authenticity, that which is looking is not an object. It's
That's
a
right.
process.
That's
and
right.
So,
it's not a someone.
Yes. But since we're so trained to interpret the something as a someone or a something that is the object, it's really hard to switch the orientation to identifying with the process, not
yes.
the object.
Yes, yes, yes.
Go ahead. Qualitatively, it's a shift of sight. Because
yes.
it's a sight that requires registering process rather than object.
That's right. And you know, Ashwini, the simplest way for people to practice with this is redirecting the attention. Because it has all the components. We can just sit and do a simple little exercise of directing and redirecting the attention. And we can watch it, we can get a sense that what is able to watch that process is what we're looking for. That's who we are. That's what we are. That's the intelligence. It's not an aspect of the personality. We get to see ego come in with its opinions and its directions and, you know, well, you're going to mess that up and that isn't working and why are you, you know, we get to see that ego process for what it is, like keeping our attention on what is aware of all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually this is a strange way of saying it, is to practicing identifying with that, what is seen, rather
yes.
than what
yes.
is being seen, is sort
yes.
of that movement. It's like owning the projection that we talk about, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It's owning the process of awareness.
Yes. Yes. And one of the things that people realize fairly quickly is there's a felt sense with it.
Yes.
And in the email class, because we're coming to, you know, we're winding down with that, and the experience that people are having is when present and doing these behaviors from the email class, an advertisement for the New Year's retreat where we'll continue doing this kind of thing. When people are watching themselves do the behaviors that they're practicing, it's that same process we're describing. They're watching from awareness, and they're seeing what happens with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, and seeing that that is not me.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
So fun.
It's so fun. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hey.
What are you seeing?
Well, the self-hating voice was very loud and clear, the message, which is, you're such a slacker.
Oh, it's very concerned about that with you, isn't it?
It is
uh-huh.
so concerned. It is so
yeah.
concerned that it is like kind of like smoke and mirroring it, because it's it's saying, you're such a slacker, but wait, practitioners don't get into self-hate, so don't examine that. So
uh-huh.
it's kind of like this magnetic push away from just even looking at anything about, you know, what does that even mean, being a slacker, or just even getting
yeah.
any
well,
information about it.
That's right. And so a la the communication book, what you would say is, so you're projecting that I'm a slacker. Can you say more about that?
Oh, yes. A recording would be great.
Uh-huh. Mm. Yeah, tell me more about that. I'm really interested in slacker and in how that is so for me. So tell me more about that. Where do you see that showing up?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, boy, it is a push away from looking at it.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Well,
don't look there.
That's right. And it's a variation on the, okay, you messed up when you were playing that last time, you messed up, so you're going to mess up again. You know, people on retreat, when they're doing the daily recollection, they're guiding the daily recollection, I mean, that's just a constant with that voice in there trying to, you know, you're going to mess it up, you're going to forget, you're going to lose your place, you're going to mess it up, you're going to... And it's obvious that the only reason it's there is to try to get them to have the experience it's predicting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're such a
right.
slacker. And you know, Jennifer, the fascinating thing about that is there's a way in which I could be a slacker caught in a conversation with a voice in my head about what a slacker I am.
That's exactly true for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because I'm not.
Yep.
I'm actually not attending. Yeah, I'm not attending to what I could be attending to if I'm attending to that conversation. So it has a point.
It really does.
Yeah.
<perfect. laughs>
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So you get to now. Then you get to say, you know, you're right. I'm wasting a lot of time listening to you. So I'm going to get back to
business here.
Yeah, I got to get back. Thanks. Thank you for that. Thank you for that reminder. That's good. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And you know the thing with this conversation that's so important is that we're moving out of that, oh no, loser little me trying to meet the standards of this brilliant voice in my head that knows everything about how everything should be done, does nothing to help me,
mm-hmm.
but just criticizes me every step of the way. And what we're doing is saying, actually, no, You are a fiction. You do not exist. You're just a voice. So, and I'm the one with a real life. So that relationship is changing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's what you were talking about earlier, right, Cherry, that that it's always a redirective attention. However we do it, whether we laugh at it, whether we say thank you, whether you're great, I'm grateful for the notice, or whatever it is, because it's awareness, aware of what ego is doing, and then being able to redirect the attention to the awareness of that, which is what gets us to being here.
Yes. And to all the things we choose, presence and gratitude and expansiveness and inclusiveness and compassion and,
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Barbara from Chicago.
Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
What are you seeing?
What I'm seeing is, or hearing, is this voice telling me that I'm choosing suffering because I don't practice enough or I don't do it well enough, and so I'm choosing suffering, and then kind of, then I hear, what kind of idiot would choose suffering?
Uh-huh.
You know, when you know...
Well, the idiot, you know, that is saying that to you...
Mm-hmm.
That's the idiot that's choosing suffering, right? That's ego always angling for suffering.
Yeah. I mean, I when I saw this kind of play out, the first thing I saw around it is how important practice is to me, and now and how nothing has really helped me see the possibility of freedom and living an authentic life and all of these wonderful things. And then... And it feels true that I don't choose it enough, or I don't, you know, I don't know. I know that's not helpful, but that's what I.
Yeah.
I believe.
So and so, a la our conversation with Jennifer, the response to that could be, you're right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that reminder. I do want to choose to practice more. And the thing to know, Barbara, is in that moment you're practicing.
Yeah.
So rather than practice being, I need to do this big thing, whatever this big thing is, you know, I need to record and listen 23 hours out of the day, which would be really great if you weren't doing anything else. But that's what ego wants it to be. If you're not doing that, if you don't live at the monastery, then you're not practicing and you're choosing suffering. Well, that's not true. And so the realization that this is what ego is doing to you, and the redirection of attention, that's practice. You're practicing. That's the one actually it doesn't want you to do. Making grand movements, yes, but the little moment by moment by moment by moment choosing presence, that's what it really doesn't want us to do.
Yeah, and I... when I consider that ending suffering can be a focus of this life, it feels so clear and relaxing, and and like something that frees me from the drive to achieve, which is really prevalent for me. And but it's just like, okay, this is it, 'cause sometimes the big grand gesture can be so overwhelming, and I never get there, and it just all that focus.
That's right.
And
so that's
it's,
right.
Yeah, that's really helpful to see that.
So two of my favorite quotes, as you know, one is the Gary Zukav. 10% of you makes a commitment, and 90% of the universe gets behind it. So, you know, I want to awaken in this lifetime. I choose to awaken in this lifetime. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. That's okay. But that's what I'm choosing. That's what I want. Then we go back to my well, I have so many favorite Jesus quotes, but the knock and it'll be open. Seek and you'll find. Ask and you, right? So he didn't say, twist yourself into a knot. Let self-hate be too bloody. Hate yourself into, there was none of that. It's just ask and you will receive. And in my experience, Barbara, that is exactly true. It's not a, there's no great big deep understanding for us to get from that. It's that simple. And we know that it's true because even though people hate it when I say this kind of thing, right, we have exactly the life we've been asking for. Sadly, most people are asking ego to beat them into being the right person. And so that's what we get. So if you want gentleness and kindness and compassion and love as you awaken, ask for that. Focus on that. In the beatings. Start right now living the life that you want to have once you're fully awakened.
Start to live the life you have when you're fully awakened.
That's right. It, because you know it's going to be kind and loving and compassionate. Right? So we can't choose hatred to get to love. It just even fails logic.
Right. Yeah, and I know and I gratefully I've had the moments of clarity to have known that, and they're simple and quiet, and then and in a way bigger than anything else I've ever experienced.
Yes exactly. Yep, that's it. And that's what we're going for. So we want to look for it. We want to ask for it. We want to be grateful for it. Yeah, we want that to be our priority, and everything else we just ignore it. We know how to redirect the attention. That's all we need to do. We don't need to fight with ego. We don't need to anything. We just ignore it. Just choose unconditional love.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And go happy.
Much. Yes, I'm
you
so
are so
happy.
Welcome.
Thank you so
Good. Thanks, Barbara. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Barbara. And Jerry, I think we have time for one more caller. So here we go.
All right.
Caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, this is Kim calling from Vashon Island.
Hello, Kim. What are you seeing?
Well, I need some guidance between two things that I hear you say that bring up a lot of self-hate and beatings. So one of them is the world starts now.
Yes.
And the other side of it is...
That's what people want to believe.
Okay.
Should we talk about that one first?
That's what people want to believe.
Well,
can I give
first?
You the other one? Just because it's sort of, it's related, because the other one is no looking back, no regrets for what happened in the past when you didn't have skills.
That's right. Yep. So those are actually saying the same thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's
I need some clarity.
You're whatever to me, and we've known each other forever, right? We've known each other forever. And then you say something, and I am offended. I am upset. I am angry. I can't believe it. Okay? And I want the world to start right now. So you have nothing going that might have inspired you to say that to me. Okay? Nothing. And nothing in our relationship prepared you for that. Right? Are you with me on that?
Well, so that's conditioning speaking, right?
That's exactly
right. Is that what
you're saying? So that's right.
Okay.
So from center, of course, well, from center, there would be a lot of different things that would be known and possible. But just from center, there would be, well, something's going on with her. I don't know what's going on with her, but something's going on with her, right? Because she said that, because she did that, because that, okay? And if we've known each other for years, I know that that's not all of you. So there's something going on with her. But I want to make the world start right now. No, everything has been perfect. I've been perfect, right? And then you just jumped up and out of the blue. You know, it's just such horse pucky. Okay. The no going back is the same thing, right? This is all there is. So we don't need to figure out what happened. We don't need to do that. I don't need to say, there was that time when I was really identified, and so maybe what she's doing now is maybe this is some kind of retaliation. Maybe in both of those cases, I want to make the whole world, especially you in this case, about me. And we just don't need to do that.
Well, so where is the place where we build skills? Like there's a place where
The only skill we're building, Kim, is presence. That's the only one.
Okay. And so when I say that that was unskillful, it's because I wasn't present in that moment. Is that an interpretation?
That's right. And there's no reason even to say it's unskillful. When we're really present, we're not figuring anything out. We're actually, see, here's the beauty of it. There's nothing to learn in life. Because learning requires us to hold on to something. Learning/knowing. Okay, it requires us to have this body of information that we're referencing. We don't want to do that. So when we're here, when we're present, everything that exists, everything that has ever been or ever will be, exists right here in this moment. And all of it is available to us because it's what we are. And that's what informs us.
So
all we have to do
maybe,
is be here.
Right. And if in the past I was less awake, is what you're saying.
That's right.
As we
you
go
less
forward in practice.
That's right.
Then
that's
I become
exactly
more
right.
present, and then I'm not.
And more is available to you.
More is available.
More is available.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's like cleaning off a window. You know, the window, the place has been abandoned. The window is just, you can't even tell it's a window. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then you start cleaning it. And when it's completely clean, then everything is completely clear. That's what's happening to us. We're being cleaned. We're windows that are being cleaned.
And so can I have compassion for the person who was not able to see out of the dirty window?
You must. And again, this is a subtle place, but it's important. There is no you to have compassion for her. That assumes a separation that doesn't actually exist. All we are is the window. And when you stop and consider it, what's cleaning the window is the intelligence that animates. It's life itself. Mm-hmm. And we just get the incredible blessing of being present for the process.
Whew. Okay, I'm going to have to listen to this about 10,000 times, but that will be good.
All right, that will be good. That will be a good thing. Part of the window cleaning process. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. Go happy. Thank you.
Go Ashwini. Happy.
Thanks, Kim. Sherry, you know, it's so very zen. That conversation was so zen because if you try to understand it with your head, with your mind, there's nowhere you can park that. And that, right?
That's a funny image. Yeah, yeah.
The contradictions, what I was watching, my process and listening to that conversation, and it really is a tremendous awareness of how we have various contexts for receiving information. And if we're not aware that we're talking in ways in which what we're saying is not conventional, it's absolutely impossible to understand it with what's receiving it, right? So a skill in at one level is I learn how to use my backhand in tennis really well. There's a way in which I can have that skill. But when you're talking about skill as presence, then, you know, we're talking at a different level of what is being pointed at. And so just to allow ourselves to have information of different quality and different levels is just a fascinating process in itself.
Yes. It's the famous Zen paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, go ahead.
Well, you can't get this stuff going forward. You just can't, because that's what we're doing. We're going beyond conditioned mind. That's what awareness practice is, right? So you can't get this going forward. You try to figure it out. Finally, your brain just collapses, right? And you see something, right? Now, when we look back at our practice, we can see, I can see how that led to that and that awareness and that. It's actually logical looking back on it, but you can't do it looking forward. You can only be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Well, that was another Zen paradox.
It's the thing I love most in life.
All right. Our assignment for today, the self-hating message is that as you are, we're not enough. Enough for what? What does that mean? If you were enough, then what? RL, what you see.
All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini, and thank you, everybody. And
thank
let's
you.
All do go happy.
Go happy.